Welcome to the Bethany Hour. Stay tuned as we look into the book of Acts.
At times, it seems like I am sinking under the mountain of life with no escape inside, but
welcome to this edition of the Bethany Hour. Thank you for joining with us as we look to Scripture for help and direction as we follow Jesus Christ. Pastor Adams will return in just a moment. Bethany Assembly of God is located in Agawam, Massachusetts, at the corner of Main Street and Route 57. Our Sunday services are at 9 a.m. for our traditional service and 11 a.m. for our contemporary service. Our midweek service on Wednesday includes programs and services for all age groups. Log on to our website at bethany-ag.org for more information about these and other services.
Welcome to the Bethany Hour. Pastor Adams and Pastor Reed once again looking into the book of Acts, chapter 5. We're picking up in verse number 17. So glad you're listening this morning.
It's great to be alive, to be here, to be talking about this amazing book that shows the kind of the birth of the church, a couple thousand years ago. How cool is that?
It really is cool. You know, they told me on Fox News that 65% of Americans went to church on Easter.
Wow.
I'm not sure. I'd love to be able to find out if that's true.
That would be neat to know.
But yeah. It would be great if you went to church on Easter. We hope that you had a great Easter Sunday, that your family was together, you celebrated the resurrection, and you recognized the blessed people we are, knowing Jesus and living in such a great country.
You know, the freedom of religion that we have is such an amazing liberty that we have. And, you know, there's a lot of people in the world that don't have what we have. So, man, if 65% of the people went, that's a great statistic.
That's a pretty good number, isn't it? Well, there's 35% of them we need to reach now.
There it is.
So that's why we're doing the radio.
Amen.
We're doing the radio for you. If you've tuned in, you didn't go to church, this might be your opportune time.
There it is. It's Sunday morning.
There it is. We're picking it up in chapter 5, and in 17, it says, then the high priest and all his associates. Now, I wonder how many all his associates is. I wonder how many associates he had.
I'm sure he had a few.
You think he had a few?
I think he had
a lot of associates, who were members of the party of the Sadducees, were filled with jealousy.
Yeah.
Now, I don't know why religious people have jealousy. We're so should be grateful for what we have, but we always want something that somebody else has.
Men's hearts, go down that path pretty quickly. When they feel like their authority and their influence is being shifted from them to somebody else. And obviously, we talked last week about Peter's shadow. People wanting his shadow to fall on them. I mean, that's pretty impressive. So
it is.
I see why the high priest can be I understand why the high priest got jealous. He didn't need to, but I get it.
Well, again, it makes mentions that they're Sadducees and they're jealous now. They arrested the apostles and they put them in public jail.
Yeah.
Now, there must have been a private jail. Because this is a public jail.
They put him in the public jail.
There must have been, because we visited the high priest's home.
Yeah.
Caiaphas had his own private jail.
Wow.
And so there must have been a public jail. I can imagine what that was like.
Yeah, a mess.
Something bad. So they put him in a public jail. But during the night, an angel of the Lord opened the doors of the jail and brought them out.
Wow.
How many people in jail like to pray that prayer? How many people in jail would like to pray that?
That would be one that I'm sure many of them pray every night when they go to sleep.
You think there must have to be something that's purified in a man's heart before an angel's going to open the door for him if he's in jail?
I would think so.
Can you imagine if you could pray and the jail doors would open for everybody? Everybody would want to be a Christian. Then let's all pray. We'll just do what we want to do and then pray.
Yep.
Doesn't work.
No.
Doesn't work. So well.
No.
But I don't hear too much about this of people getting broken out of jail by a prayer. But that's pretty interesting.
It is.
It's pretty cool.
I just keep reading it over and over again. And I'm just like, wow.
They're in a public jail.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden, in the middle of the night, an angel comes and opens the doors of the jail. And now you say that in a simplistic sentence.
Yeah.
But how can you picture it?
I know.
I mean, if you're caught in jail and all of a sudden the angel says, hey, come on, let's go. Get up.
Let's get up. Yeah. we're making a break.
You have to say that is a wonderful statement. Then at daybreak.
Did he put a hacksaw in an angel food cake?
Oh, gee.
Sorry.
That's a good one. That's a good one. Well, if he put a hacksaw in, it was a heavenly one because the doors just slide right open. Yeah. So anyway, it says, go stand in the temple courts, he said, and tell the people the full message of this new life. So you didn't just let him out of jail and say, go do what you want to do.
Right.
there's a purpose for being set free.
Most guys that break out of jail,
yeah, they're not
go gonna... on the lam. They're not sticking around, yeah, right?
That's right.
But this angel said, you know what? Go back to where they arrested you and keep telling the story.
Instead of going on the lam, tell about the lam.
Right.
That's what they're going to do. So here they go, and they stand in full of everyone. Now, right. First of all, the Sadducees and the high priests are the ones who bring them into jail. So they're going to stand in front of the Sadducees and all those that are in the temple, the Pharisees and all the high priests and everyone, stand in front of everybody and tell the story. And they must have known they put them in a public jail. I can't imagine what they felt like when they saw these guys set free now and preaching this new life in Christ Jesus.
You know, and the interesting thing is that the Sadducees don't believe in angels.
There you go. Resurrection or nothing.
This just hit me. They don't believe in the resurrection. They don't believe in angels or demons or anything like that. And an angel let them out. So these guys are standing in the temple courts the next morning, and they're telling the story. Jesus, you know, died, risen from the dead. Angel let us out of the jail that the Sadducees put us into.
Wow.
And there's no way that they can deny.
They can't deny it, can they?
They're out there.
No. So... Yeah, they can't deny it because there they are.
Yeah.
That's a wonderful thing when you're confronted with the truth and you cannot come up with an excuse.
Exactly.
The truth is there, and that's it. Here it is, right in front of you. You can't deny it.
Right.
What are you going to do?
They must have stood there speechless.
Speechless.
Yeah.
Or got very angry.
Or got,
very angry.
On top of their jealousy.
On top of it. At daybreak, they entered the temple courts, as they had been told, and they began to teach the people. Now, obviously, if you get delivered from jail and the angel says, go preach, what are you going to do?
You're going to go preach.
I can only imagine. Yeah, go preach. Some people, God calls them to preach, and they never go preach.
Yeah.
The truth is, maybe they need a jail experience before they can actually get out and do what God tells them to
do. Amen.
Don't wait. If the Lord's got something on your heart and he's speaking to you about it, don't just sit around and wait. You might end up somewhere in jail or in the belly of a fish.
Yeah.
Somewhere, you got to have to respond to God
because
he's speaking to your life and you know it. So here, these guys do what the angel told them to do. And when the high priest and his associates arrived, so they're coming together now. The word's out.
Yep.
You guys got to come see this. They called together the whole Sanhedrin. Now they called together the full assembly of the elders of Israel, everybody, and sent to the jail for the apostles.
Right. They hadn't heard the good news yet.
They hadn't heard that. They're already free.
So they get the Pharisees together. They get the Sadducees together. They get the scribes together. They're all in their flowing robes. Everybody's looking good. Their hair is all done.
They're looking for a trial.
Right. And so they send to the jail for the apostles. Now, it just doesn't say one or two. I mean, it says the apostles. Yeah. So it could have been all 11 or 12 of these guys.
Several, anyway.
You know, so there were multiple guys, and the angel made the break, and here they are. These guys get together, and they're ready to come down on them because they're angry, they're jealous, and they don't like how these apostles are cutting in on their action.
Yeah. So, but on arriving at the jail, the officers did not find them there.
Oh.
So they went back and reported. Now, I can imagine them, what they were saying as they're walking back. What are we going to tell these guys? Because we could be in trouble here. We could be really in
trouble. I'm surprised these guys didn't go on the lam. I'm like,
you're right. I can't go back and tell them this.
Yeah, what are we going to do? They go and,
How can you go and not bring them back? They're in jail.
Yeah.
And they come back and they reported, we found the jail securely locked with the guards standing at the doors. Now, you know, the angel opened the door, but he locked it too.
He locked the door. That's
pretty cool. He not only locked it, but he must have blinded the eyes of the captives, the guards.
Supernatural miracle here.
It's
amazing.
It really is amazing. Yeah. And so we found the jail. It was securely locked. It wasn't open.
Yep.
The guards are still there. When we opened, we found no one inside.
Yeah. I wonder if there was a poster, you know.
Are they scratched on the wall?
Scratched on the wall.
Later.
See you later. You know.
Meet me in the temple.
Right.
But anyway, on hearing this report, the captain of the temple guard and the chief priests were puzzled.
You think?
That's a good word.
You
That's
think?
A good, puzzled. First of all, the captain of the guard who's responsible, right. he had his guards there. The door was locked. There was no way that they could have gotten out.
Right.
Absolutely impossible for them to leave because the guards are there. The door's locked, still locked, not open. They didn't chisel their way out.
Yeah.
He's puzzled.
He walked right, yeah.
What would come of this? Oh, so they're really concerned now. Yeah. I mean, gee, everybody talking about Jesus rising from the dead. Now we got guys leaving.
Now we got empty jails.
Empty jails.
This is getting bad. Tombs are empty. The jail is empty. There's stuff happening here.
Yeah. It's pretty amazing when you read it. We read it so quickly, but can you imagine living through this? And these poor religious people, they thought that they were going to put an end to this thing. And all of a sudden, it's coming out of, unglued. Yeah. It's coming out of hand.
And you know, Jesus said, I'm going to go to the Father. You're going to do stuff like I've been doing, and then you're going to do some greater stuff. This is one of those greater things. I mean, Jesus, you know, we know he got arrested and went like that. But here, the whole group of them get thrown into prison, into the public jail, and then an angel rescues them, brings them out.
Amazing.
And it's just them. It doesn't talk about the other people that were in the public jail, because you know there's got to be other people there.
But you're right.
The angel brought the apostles out, doors back locked, the guards didn't see anything. This is one of those greater things that he said we were going to be able to do because Jesus is up in heaven helping us.
Truly amazing. And of course, the temple guard, he was puzzled. The priest is puzzled. And then someone, who knows who this someone is, but someone came and said, look, the men you put in jail are standing in the temple courts teaching the people. Now, they're ready to bring these apostles before the Sanhedrin to judge them and to tell them to stop preaching the gospel or to punish them, maybe even kill them,
right.
But they're going to do something to them. And all of a sudden, they're gone. And here comes somebody who says, hey, they're out teaching.
Yeah.
And they're trying to stop them from teaching, and they're out teaching.
And they're out teaching again. Yeah.
Oh, my. You know, that should help you actually understand how much God really wants to use you, how much God wants to set you free from anything that is gripping and holding your life and keeping you from doing what God wants you to do, because he'll make a way like he did for the apostles. He opened the doors for them, and they're preaching, and he told them to go and preach and teach all those things that he had taught them. Amen. And so here they are doing it, and you know, a minute ago, they're in jail, but now they're free.
Yeah.
And so the same thing can happen in your life. Don't let a jail or a prisoner or a fear or something to keep you from doing what God wants you to do, because God really wants you free.
The presence of the Holy Spirit at work in your life can set you free.
That's
whether
exactly
you're in a jail,
right. Doesn't matter.
A physical jail, an emotional, a financial, whatever is binding you. And then you have spiritual gifts, according to Scripture, that you can use, words of wisdom and encouragement, prophetic words and miracles and healing, all these things that are available by God through you, that you can encourage other people and give him the glory.
Yeah, and prisons aren't always made of iron bars.
No.
Prisons can be just a matter of your mind thinking incorrectly, and God gives you the mind of Christ and sets you free.
Amen.
Then someone came and said, look, these men that you put in jail are standing in the temple and they're teaching the people. At that, the captain went with his officers and brought the apostles. They did not use force because they feared that the people would stone them.
Yeah. I mean, the people knew what had happened. The people were there yesterday when they were arrested and thrown into jail. So everybody knew what had happened. I mean, it's a small town. Everybody knows what's going on. And then they see these guys out the next morning, sunrise. They're out there preaching again. And so the people were like, this is really exciting with these guys. And then when these guys come, you know, they're protected because the people were listening to them.
Yeah. And I like what it says here, that the officers did not use force because the people were packing.
Yeah. they had some rocks on them.
People were packing.
Yeah.
So there's something to be said about packing, about having your own force, if you will, for abuse of force. So they didn't do anything. And having brought the apostles, they made them appear before the Sanhedrin to be questioned by the high priest. Yeah. So they're teaching, preaching, and they come and they ask them, please come with us. We want you to stand before the Sanhedrin and explain what you're doing. And so they do it. The apostles, that's amazing. They could have rebelled. The people could have stoned them. There could have been a real rebellion here, but there was no rebellion. And I think that's pretty interesting because it is a peaceful resistance, if you will.
Right. Definitely is. Jesus warned this stuff was going to happen, and they responded accordingly.
So they brought the apostles, and they appear before the Sanhedrin and the high priest, and this is what the high priest says. who we gave you strict orders not to teach in this name, the name of Jesus.
Yep.
He said, yet you filled Jerusalem with your teaching and you're determined to make us guilty of this man's blood.
Well, wait, weren't they the ones yelling, crucify him?
Yeah, I know it. It's just absolutely crazy. They really were.
Yeah.
You say, you're making us responsible for his man's blood. Yeah, well, right. You're absolutely correct. They're the ones who caused him to be crucified.
I think they said, if I'm not mistaken, in one of the Gospels.
Better for him to die.
Yeah, better for him to die. And may his blood be on our hands and our children's hands.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah.
You're right. So this is a very interesting part of the gospel because we don't hear a lot about this, but here are these religious people who rejected Jesus, and now they're rejecting the teachings of Jesus, and they're rejecting these men who saw and testified that he rose from the dead.
Yeah.
And Peter and the other apostles replied, we must obey God rather than men.
Yeah.
You know, it's a cliche, if you will. But there's truth here because the angel told them from God, go preach. That's what the angel told them.
Yeah.
Jesus told them to do it, and the angel told them to do it. So it's when you look at it that way, if an angel woke you up and broke you free and told you to go do something and someone said you shouldn't do it, and I say, well, who am I supposed to listen to?
Yeah. Yeah. You? No.
You? No, not so much you.
Not so much.
This guy set me free. This guy told me what to do. He broke open prison bars. Bingo.
Miracles happened. I witnessed it. I am here because of a miracle of God. I'm going to trust what that guy says over what you've said, because I watched over the past several weeks where you yelled, crucify him.
Yeah.
And we're, you know, now, listen, this doesn't open up. I mean, we're not anti-Semites here. We love the Jewish people. We realize
that
what happened here
had to happen.
It had to happen. And we know that. And God knew that.
Yeah.
And God still has an amazing plan for the Jewish people. And,
yes, he does.
And a covenant relationship with them. And if you continue to read the whole book, you'll find out of God's amazing plan for them. But Peter did have to be obedient to what Jesus had told him and what the angel said.
And then he goes on, the God of our fathers raised Jesus from the dead. So he's going back to the Jewish roots, and he's saying, look, it's your father. It's the God of our father who raised Jesus from the dead, whom you had killed by hanging him on a tree. God exalted him to his own right hand as prince and savior, that he might give repentance and forgiveness of sins to Israel. Now, that's just about why they killed Jesus, because of what he said.
Yeah, right there.
Listen, there's nothing greater than the resurrection, and I hope you guys had a wonderful Easter and that the resurrection was real, because these men preached the gospel, they put their life on the line, their testimonies, their word on the line, and they took risks by preaching the good news that Jesus is alive. This is Pastor Adams and Pastor Reed. God bless you. Have a great day.